All right, well, let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, as we go to your word and go to the book of Proverbs yet again, and today as we talk about your will for our families and the raising of children, then we all can relate to this, because each one of us is a child. Each one of us has been part of a family or in a family. So, Lord, we just want to do, we want to learn and grow. We want to see it from your perspective. So we thank you for these things. In Christ's name, amen. One of the challenges of preaching through the book of Proverbs, and especially topically, is that you have to figure out how to edit it. Of when you have maybe 50 verses, or maybe 100 verses that specifically deal with issues of family and parenting. And since families are made up of moms, dads, kids, grandparents, aunts, uncles, there's different words for each one of us, but there's very few things that I think are more important to who we are as a people. God has created the family. When I do premarital counseling, we spend a lot of time talking about the family of origin, you know. And you may be married to someone, if you're married here, who grew up in a family very different from yours, you know, that you grew up in. This is very typical. And so we begin to realize that not all families are created equal. And at the same time, God has provided. I tell people that the family is the basis of, in God's eyes, of human love and support. And I tell people, therefore, marriage should not be entered into by anyone unadvisedly, but reverently and discreetly, and in the love and will of God. And so, knowing that, then we want to launch into this as to the issues of why we study. Now, when we started our study in the book of Proverbs, there were some promises at the beginning. If we study this book, this is how we'll be helped. And here we go. We'll get wisdom, knowledge, instruction, guidance, discretion, wise dealings, understanding, and learning. It tells us that in the first 7 verses of Proverbs. Now, those are things that we need for every aspect of life, but specifically these things are very helpful as it relates to our family. We need wisdom. These things are challenging. Here you have, whatever size your family is, and maybe yours is quite small, maybe it's right now it's just you and your cat, I don't know. But things change. But I grew up in a family with mom and dad and 4 kids. And trying to figure out, man, how do we all fit? We all have our part. And I believe this, that God wants us to look to Him as it relates to how we respond to one another in the context of family. There's many, many experts, and over the years, those experts have come and gone as to, here's how you're supposed to raise your kids. When I was growing up, the famous person was Dr. Spock. Not the guy with the pointed ears. He probably would have done better than the other guy, but I don't know, you know. I was probably raised more by Spock on Star Trek than Dr. Spock. But I do remember this, growing up as a kid, as an elementary school kid, that some of the ways, okay, never discipline your kids, or your kids intuitively ought to know what they really like. And so there was a weird kind of a sense of contract learning that hit in the 1960s. It was terrible for me because, as I'll mention later, I was the laziest kid in the history of the planet. The thing I was really good at was recess. I was good at that. And so left to myself, I would have got straight A's in recess. And so we'll get to that in a moment. So the issue is different theories as to how kids should be raised, and I would say this. Let's make sure that we do not skim over what the Lord says for each one of us regarding our place in our family. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Here's what how it says it in the New American Standard. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. But here in the NIV, let's say this together, shall we? In the NIV here, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. Now this is something I believe that is God's will. God's will was the family structure itself was to be a strong fortress, a place of refuge. And I already know this, is that many of you did not grow up in that kind of a family. Why? Because sin entered the world. And not all parents have parented wisely. And I saw that growing up. Born in Ukiah, moved to Bakersfield, lived on Yale Avenue. Growing up with everyone seemed like everyone had four or five kids in their family. And so there I noticed that things were different. I told the story in the first service of my friend Ricky. He grew up in a family where his dad was, they're quite wealthy. And he worked as one of the foremen at the oil refinery. And they had all kinds of cocktail parties and stuff to go to. So Ricky would often knock at my door. Guy's 8 years old, 9 years old, maybe 10. His parents would just simply give him a $10 bill and say, go to Dairy Queen for dinner. I used to think, wow, how cool is that? Man, Mom, how come you don't give me 10 bucks? I mean, 10 bucks in the 1960s was a lot of money. I mean, that's like $1,000, you know. So, Ricky, he'd come by my house. He goes, hey, my parents, they gave me 10 bucks to go to Dairy Queen. You want to go to dinner? And I'm going, yeah. You know. And I look at my mom, and mom's going, there's something wrong with this picture. You don't throw 10 bucks at your kid when they're 8 years old and tell them, hey, walk, you know, across a busy street, River Boulevard, whatever, and go to Dairy Queen. I realize this, that not all families were wise. Not all families were knit together. And ultimately this, we'll talk about at the end, there's where God created something unique. God created his own family, a special family. We'll get to that at the end. So the purpose of the home, according to this, is that the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and the children will have refuge. It's a place, it should be a place of safety. And I would say this, as I'll jump ahead, is that this church, as we help raise kids, whether it's in our vacation Bible school or Sunday school or children's church or Awana or our youth group, ultimately this, we're going to fear the Lord, we're going to honor the Lord and make this a place of security, a safety. Amen? Because a lot of out on the streets of the hard streets of Lake County, there's some insecurity. Kids that are growing up in insecurity. And there's a dysfunction a generational dysfunction of how families are supposed to operate that's being passed down and passed down and passed down. And we believe this is that God's Word and the very presence of God Himself in a family can change that. And I think that that's something in our own church that we ought to redouble our passion and effort to not only say, well, we'll have great programs here, that's so important, but we ought to figure out, some people may never darken the doors of our church, so how can we impact for the good the children and families out there? And take some wisdom how to do that. But I would say this, for myself as a father in a family, that I want my family to have a refuge. And that doesn't stop when they turn 18. Doesn't stop when, at any time. And so that's one of the purposes then, if you want to learn how to be your place within your family, whether you're a mom or a dad or a kid or a grandparent or uncle, aunt, read the book of Proverbs. It's going to help you sort out, here's your place. Before they entered the promised land, they wandered for 40 years after getting the Ten Commandments. They wandered and they didn't do so good. And so now they're going to reestablish what the law is, and they're going to give it in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here's what it says. Fix these words of mine in your heart and your minds. Tie them as a symbol on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, wisdom. Friends, there's a couple parts here. One is that personally yourself, you have to, in your part of your family, you must embrace the truth of God in the relationship with Him. Then it says these words. It says, mind them in your heart and your minds or your soul. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Beforehand, someone told me that Joanne Walrath was in the hospital, and I didn't want to forget it, so I got a pen and I wrote it right here on my hand. Okay. Well, that's kind of what it's saying. God doesn't want us to forget. I love reading C.S. Lewis' the Chronicles of Narnia. My favorite is The Silver Chair. Rillian gets bewitched by the green witch, and he's off in some living in the underworld. And two kids come from the upper land to Narnia, and they're supposed to go help rescue him. But Aslan tells them, hey, here's the things you need to remember. Write them down and repeat them every day so you don't forget. And the kids were really good at that at first, but then they forgot. And along the way, they stumbled because some of the things they were supposed to remember got confused, got lost in the confusion of what was going on. Friends, the Bible says here, for every one of us, to keep the truths of God before us. Put them in, they're dear to our soul. But then it tells us here to take seriously how we would teach them to our children or grandchildren. It says, do it when you sit down, when you rise up, when you're walking, when you're sitting. Take advantage of that. That people are watching your lives. You say, well, yeah, Gary, but man, my kids are way off doing this and I never have. Listen, then you're going to be a positive impact for people, other people's kids. They're going to be watching you. I remember I told the older folks in my church in Ukiah when I came to Christ. I used to think that the highlight of the Christian life was being in a youth group. That's pretty cool. About 100 kids, all praising the Lord. Kind of thought that growing old was kind of like, oh man, I don't want to grow old. These people are boring. Friends, I want people to know that the greatest day of my life is the next one. I want my kids to know that. The life is long. So when you come up against a hardship, keep going because the Lord's promise, His blessing and His presence. So the issue is this, is that I don't know what lessons I'm supposed to teach, but I know this, is that just because my kids are over 18 doesn't mean I no longer become an influence and a parent. How I deal with hardship or blessing. Do I continue to point them to the Lord? I know this, is that as we look at the different aspects of family, that the book of Proverbs deals with each individual part of a family. First, husbands and fathers. that the husband or father's wisdom and righteousness will benefit the family. So guys, being wise and holy and righteous will bless your family. Isn't that what you want to do? Right? Or do you purposely want to cause them drama? Obviously you don't want to do that. Proverbs 11:29, he who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. It's pretty strong. So dads, man, let's take it seriously. Now, that's a lot of pressure, right? Well, that's okay. I mean, God gives us the strength for that. What if you're not perfect? Well, then confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're modeling your imperfection and going to the Lord. But ultimately this, the book of Proverbs tells us that a man's wisdom and righteousness will benefit their family. I got to tell you about my wiring. I don't know about your wiring, but my wiring at the very core is to provide and protect. So I'm the one who checks all the doors and windows at night. Always have, always will. If someone says, man, we're out of organic orange juice, I'm going, okay, I'll go. Boom. You know, make it happen. I want to be able to provide and protect. But ultimately this, I realize that the greatest protection my family can have is to have what I can be in control of is have a dad who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and has a soft heart for Jesus. All right? Because I cannot predict decisions they may make or temptations or trials that may come their way. But I am in charge of, and man, you're in charge of your life. God, Jesus is the King. You're not. Model that. A surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wives and mothers, there's some evidence in the book of Proverbs that she may have the most pivotal role in the family. I don't think that there is a sense where, okay, men are the gatherers and the hunters and protectors and the women are the nurturers. But ultimately this, I know in my family that I'm not sure, but I saw my dad and my grandparents model that if my dad would typically give the nod, make sure that the direction is something that mom's kind of along with. You know, they worked as a team. It was kind of cool to see that. But the pressure is this, is that, you know, there's the verses that talk about women, a wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down by her own hands. Proverbs 14:1. You know, you can tear your family apart by your foolishness. So there's some warnings. You know, the issue of the opportunity to impact somebody, fathers, mothers, wives and mothers. Next, children. It's very strong here in the book of Proverbs. Either children, you can be a curse or a blessing. So it has good children, and there's verses about bad children. I get that because I was the bad kid. So in the four kids growing up, 90% of the time, I'm the one who was at the center of the trouble. Don't know why. I mean, same, right? We were spawned in the same river. I mean, the same family, same grandparents, same blessings, same everything. So how come I was the one who wrestled the most? I don't know. But I know this, is that when I stepped out of line in my life, it has hurt my parents. A number of years ago, there was somebody writing a book about Rick Warren, the pastor at Saddleback Church. And Rick and I, we went to school together. He was a senior when I became a freshman. He was a great Christian leader, even as a senior in high school. My cousin Tom would marry his sister Shondell, so I've known the Warrens forever. And I had someone come to interview me who was writing a book. And they were talking about, well, what was it like to be a young person in Ukiah during those times? Because Jim Jones, the cult leader, was there, and Reverend Moon's over the hill, and you got City of 10,000 Buddhas and stuff. And I told the story is that I was out, had been drinking with my friends, and we drove into the People's Temple parking lot, which was a mistake, and we were surrounded by people with automatic weapons, and what are you doing here? And we had been drinking, so we mouthed off, and you know, we finally got it. Anyway, this guy wrote all this in this book without telling me. My dad then goes, picks up the book, and he's reading it. Oh, look at here. There's something about my son, you know. And there's a whole page telling this story. Well, I never really got around to telling my dad about that. You know, I mean, he goes in, and he's at Borders in Monterey, and he's reading this, and he's mortified. Here's my son who's drinking and driving. And his friends were reading it, and my dad felt ashamed. And I contacted my dad, and I asked for forgiveness. I said, you know, Dad, there's a whole lot of things that I did before I was a believer that I'm not proud of, and I'm not sure what stuff to bring you in the loop on. But I hurt my dad. Why? Because he took very, very seriously wanting me to grow up as a decent person, as a person of integrity who didn't go drinking and driving and acting like a fool. So the issue of, we see husbands and fathers, we see wives and moms, we have children here. And then we also see within the context of family, grandparents or the aged. It talks about grandchildren being a blessing to the elderly. Older family members have much to contribute to the family. And for sure, in my life, I was shaped by my grandparents. Now, why do I share this? Is because we see as precious the family. And I realize this is that you may not have come from a family like my family. And I understand that we were all brought into this world, and I can't say, well, how come I did this? But here's what I know. I grew up in a perfect family, and I was imperfect. And so here's one of the things we know about it, about that issue of, is that there's some other verses that I want us to look at. One of them is the verse that is often taken out of context. I've got to find it here. And that is the verse about Proverbs 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Now, can we all say amen that folly is bound up in the heart of a child? All right. Why? Because we're all sinners. I mean, you know, little baby Gary was so cute. You know, I have pictures. So, who taught me to be selfish? Who taught me to want the biggest piece of the pie? Who taught me to think it was a good idea to join with my friends all in elementary school in Bakersfield and become thieves and become shoplifters? So I've shared that story before. We all just say, hey, let's go steal stuff. So we'd go down to the store and we'd steal stuff. We'd come and brag, hey, you got the biggest thing, you got the most, whatever. And then we forgot about the special gift that God gives to moms. It's called a mom radar. Come up with this flashlight. Where'd you get that flashlight? I got it from Lynn Barnum. Goes, oh yeah, why'd he give it to you? It looks brand new. I'm going to call Lynn's mom. Now you get the mom patrol, all right? Moms used to do that. You couldn't get away with anything. So we decided, let's just bury all the stuff underneath the house. you know. You're like pirates, you know. So ultimately, I've shared the story a million times, I'll share it again. I ultimately get caught stealing cigars from the local store. Butcher grabs a hold of me, sits me down on a bunch of pinto beans in the back of the store. As they call my dad down, I'm walking home. He goes, "Dad, son, why did you do it?" I said, "I don't know." The famous last words of any kid who doesn't know what he's doing. Come home, mom's weeping. Dad would take me in the room, take out his belt, whip me in the thighs. He said, "Don't come out of this room until you can apologize to the family, and especially your mom, for the shame that you have brought upon us." It's right from the book of Proverbs. Why? Because folly is in the heart of a child. Every one of us. I'm 62. I'm still a kid. God's still trying to whack it out of me. Right? So here's what I have to say about the rod. That doesn't mean you get to beat your kids. That's criminal. I believe the Bible gives us permission to discipline our children. You don't do that in anger, because that's sin also. You do it because it's the issue of correction. And each one of your children may be a little bit different. For my little sister, all my parents had to do was look at her crosswise and she'd start crying. For me, I needed a little bit firmer hand. And I shared before when my grandmother said I was touching her little figurines and she said, "Don't touch those bees." And I touched them anyway. "Oh, no, Gary, don't touch them." She's just trying to do it by her niceness. And finally, my dad slaps my hand. I said, "Oh, Dad, that didn't hurt." Well, game on, you know. Game on. And as he's dragging me into the bedroom, it's not to beat the tar out of me. He says, "Listen, this is not helpful to let little Gary get away with this." Folly in the heart. Folly in all of our hearts. We're not like a pack of wolves. God has prayed us as a family to be a blessing one to another. So there we go. The importance of disciplining and setting those guidelines for our kids. Here's another verse I believe that is taken out of context we need to clarify. Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Friends, the book of Proverbs is a book of principles, not necessarily promises. If it says, "Those who follow the Lord will live long life," it means you'll be blessed. Well, my mom, she loved the Lord, but she died at age 54. So the issue is, you know what I'm saying? Somebody loses a child, you know, well, what happened there? No, we live in a fragile world. The issue is this: if you follow the Lord, you will be blessed. That doesn't mean you're going to get the Cadillac. That doesn't mean you'll never be sick. The Lord will be with you. He will be your God, and you'll be his child. Now, that sounds pretty good to me. But the issue of what's happened, to train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. So when you have a child, and later on they start going off on some deviant path of some kind, then parents go, I was a terrible parent, or they wouldn't have done this. It's okay for you to do a little soul searching. Man, what could I have done differently? But friends, there's no perfect parent other than our Heavenly Father. And this is not some promise that if you take your kids to Vacation Bible School and Awana and Sunday School, that they're never going to sin. I'm the poster child of that. I grew up going to church every day of my life. Godly parents. There was some willfulness in me that said, "No, I'm going to do it my way." And the Lord literally had to grab a hold of me and put the fear of death, saying, "Man, if you don't change, Gary, your life's going to be ruinous." And praise God, I fell on my knees at age 16 and gave my life to the Lord. And ever since that, I've been perfect. Of course not. I'm still struggling and God's there helping me. But now, as the Lord works in my life, now I have the responsibility. I have a wife that depends upon me. Do you think it's important for my wife that I'm a godly person? Sure. You think it's important for my children, even though they're now 29 and 28? Absolutely. Why? Because the promise of God is if I fear the Lord and put Him in proper perspective, that I have a strong tower and they get to dwell in a safe refuge. I want my family and my home to be a place of a safe refuge for my kids and maybe someday grandkids or anybody that comes in contact with us. So this issue then of training up a child in the way that he should go, I believe it's about pointing a kid in the right direction. It is putting the proper spiritual DNA in them. This is what it means and what it looks like to follow the Lord. I've had, I count them on one hand, 5 times as a pastor in 40 years that I was able to lead someone to Christ on their deathbed. One of them was a prodigal son of one of my, Sue's my dearest friends. In fact, some of you know her name is Paula Kelly. Her son, in his mid-20s, decided he was become a drinker, and all of a sudden, boom, his life was completely devastated by alcohol. He would become completely an addict and an alcoholic. And ultimately, he would drink so much that he would have liver failure in his early 30s. That happened pretty quick, right? And so he's dying. He's in the Ukiah Hospital, and the parents were there, and I came by to visit. And I know that he had grew up in a Christian home, and his mom is one of those godly people I've ever known. And I got there, and they had to leave for lunch, and so I stayed, and I asked the young man, he was probably 34 at the time, I said, you know that you're going to die probably today. Yeah. I said, Bible said you're going to stand face to face with the Lord. I just said, are you ready for that? He says, no. I said, do you want to be ready? Do you want to face that without fear? Yes. I said, then you already know what to do. I said, would you like to pray right now? I mean, God's calling you even now. And here that young man would repent and cry out to God and receive the Lord. So we were talking a little bit. I said, hey, your parents come back. Why don't you tell them what you just did? So they come back in. You think it changed their day? Tell me what you did. Mom, I just surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Confessed my sins and asked Him to forgive me and receive me. Man, weeping and stuff. Does it always work that way? No. But you know, I know this, is that what this Bible verse is telling me, train up a child, my responsibility as a dad or a granddad, someday, is to live for Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because my kids and grandkids' future could depend upon it. I want to play in this wicked world. I want my life to represent a safe place. We don't really know what God is doing and how He may get a hold of a young person. We know that Joshua was Moses' assistant when he was a young person, Numbers chapter 13. We know that Samuel was called into ministry when he was a young boy, 1 Samuel 3. David was anointing king as a young man, guarding sheep, 1 Samuel 16. Josiah, who came from a wicked family, would become a reformer king and was 8 years old when he began to rule. Can't imagine. Daniel was a young man. He was a teenager when he stood up against the Babylonian culture and would prevail and would be given great responsibility. Timothy was young enough to be called Paul's child, was entrusted with responsibility of leading the church of Ephesus. I love this. John Quincy Adams is not in the Bible, but John Quincy Adams was appointed by Congress as a diplomatic secretary to the court of Catherine the Great in Russia when he was 14. A year later, he traveled unaccompanied for 6 months to St. Petersburg to Paris. He stopped along the way in Sweden, in Stockholm, and negotiated a trade agreement at age 16 between the United States and Sweden. 16-year-old. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of my heroes, preached his first sermon when he was 15, became a pastor when he was 16, and he preached to over 5,000 people regularly by the age of 19 in London. I apologize, ladies, that I really should have found examples also of young women who God grabbed a hold of early. You don't really know what the Lord's going to do with your kids. And if someone would have told my parents that day that I stole the cigars from Jessison Supermarket, oh, by the way, you know, don't worry about it because he'll be a pastor someday, they wouldn't have believed it. Not that being a pastor is anything other than what God has called me to. But I will tell you this, in the 17 years I was a youth pastor, the number of times that telling my story about being a shoplifter brought a little bit of courage to the hearts of parents. You know what? We can get through this. Make your family, your home, a refuge for the Lord. If your family is quite small, it's you and your cat or dog, or you got kids that are far away, then you got to be part of a blessing, and that's the blessing of God's family. And I want you to read, if you want to find out about that, read the book of Ephesians. It talks about the family of God. In the book of Colossians, the family of God. And so, as I was very different family than my wife's family, now we're together a family, we're starting new traditions and stuff, but beyond that, I get to be part of the family of God. So in this church, I know that I have surrogate parents, and I got surrogate grandparents. I have people who are my brothers and sisters in Christ, some of those older, some of those younger. And a whole lot that has to do then with about my own personal walk with the Lord and what I want to be able to do for our church and Pastor Jason and Pastor Paul and those who work with our children. We want to, with all the strength we can, we want to walk in a worthy manner. We want to do that humbly, gently, with patience and forbearance, doing all that we can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Why? Because people need a home. People need a place of safety. Individually and collectively. And what we can offer to a broken world is that they get to be part of a family. They get to be part of God's family. Amen? Well, there's so much more. Boy, there's so many verses and things that I realized that. But I want to back up to this. Is that the proper view of the Lord in your life means everything. So I'll speak specifically to the guys. If you really want to man up, then be a follower of Jesus. Love Jesus. If you want to be a blessing to your family, love Jesus. Keep a short account with Him. He's the King, you're not. What would I say to the ladies in here? I'd say, keep a short account with God and be in love with Jesus. Greatest gift I can give to my children is to love my wife. But before that is to be in love with Jesus. And so that's what the plan is. We cannot go over every verse in the book of Proverbs dealing with husbands or wives or children or elderly. But here's what I can tell you. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. What does the fear of the Lord mean? It is a proper view of God. And what is a proper view of God is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. That means every one of us need to turn to Him. And we say it's as simple as ABC. One is accept that you're a sinner, that you're that by yourself you can't make it. And that, and repentance is when the Spirit of God says, hey, you're wrong, and you turn, and by His power you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross for you. You receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. And then the C is you confess Him as your Lord, not only before heaven, but before people. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. A lot of people know, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And then that should impact every aspect of your life. So here's what I know. Here's how I have to define myself. I am God's child. I am Sue's husband. I'm Kevin and Carly's dad. I'm your pastor. And I'm your brother in Christ. That's how I define myself. And it all starts with Him. That's the strength of the family. If the family is focused on loving Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Help us, and we thank You that we're part of Your holy family. We're part of You. We've been adopted into Your family. As many as received You, to them You gave the right to be called the children of God. So, Lord, help us in the role, whether we're a mom or a dad or a kid or a grandparent. Lord, help us. Whether our kids are far away or we're estranged from them or they're struggling, whatever, Lord, we know that the best thing that we can do is to follow You, because You promise blessings and security in abundance to those who follow You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing. I'm just going to sing it a cappella. If you don't know the song, you'll get to learn it, or you can lip sync. All right? I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. All right? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as I travel this sod. Oh, I'm part of the family of God. I love that part about the walking on the sod. I like that. You're part of the family of God. He's the King, and you're not. Heavenly Father, take us from this place, filled with Your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to understand rightly the role that You've given to us. Help us to define ourselves by You, and not by ourselves or by the world. Thank You for the privilege it is to be Your child. Just help us now. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.